Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. And I have some important information to give you regarding how to master your wormhole brain. And this is more important now than ever, considering the state of the world we are living in. And even if you don't know what a wormhole brain is, well, I'll refresh you on that. You've got one. Everybody has one. So I think you'll find this interesting. Before I get to that, however, I want to give you a little update on how I'm doing and what I've been up to here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and something interesting that I want to pass along to you. As you know, I'm still working on some TV projects here that are sort of winding down. So that's been taking up a good deal of my time. As a matter of fact, if you would like to see me on television, well, I'm going to be on TV in less than a week on the Discovery Channel. So you can write this down, make a note of this. On Thursday, that's this coming Thursday, April the 23rd of 2020, I am going to be on the Discovery Channel on the program called Rob Riggle Global Investigator. And this is actually the season finale of this new series. So that's pretty cool that they saved this show as the big finale of the season. And so this is a show about UFOs here in the Area 51 region, and a lot of the strange things associated with the UFO phenomenon here in Nevada. And this particular episode, it should be episode 6, I believe, and it's called Really Close Encounters. And so I don't know if they're going to air other episodes, like older ones, before that or after that. You know how TV stations or channels do that. So make sure you don't catch one of the old ones. The new episode on April 23rd is called Really Close Encounters. And you will see not only me, but also Steve Barone, UFO researcher, my good buddy Dean Worsing out there with the night vision in the field, and Nick Weird from the Creepy Vegas Ghost and UFO Show. That is assuming everybody made the cut. We haven't seen the show, so we assume we all made the cut. But it's a really good show. It's very funny. And, of course, Rob Riggle is a really talented comedic actor. But he does a good job of bringing up some mysteries and content on mysteries that I wasn't aware of. So, anyway, write that down. April 23rd, 2020 on the Discovery Channel. Sometime that evening, check your local listings for the time it will air. But it'll be sometime that evening. So anyway, so I've been doing that, and then aside from what little I've had to do outside with just groceries and stuff like that, and then, of course, occasionally attending these shoots, this is officially today 30 days of lockdown here in the state of Nevada. This state was one of the first to go in and tell everybody, here's what's going to happen. Everything gets shut down. And so, yeah, it's a full 30 days. And today was the day when everything was supposed to open back up. Of course, now they have extended that until the end of the month. But what's really good, however, is that yesterday, the governor did a press conference, and he was praising our state for doing such a good job. We have very low numbers of cases and deaths and all that compared to the rest of the country. And so he's really happy with how things are going here. And yeah, let me tell you, you want to keep the governor happy right now, don't you? The governor will lock your ass up if he doesn't like the way you comb your hair, apparently, these days. So we're happy when he's happy. So what that means is that hopefully we will be one of the first states to start sort of opening up and getting back to real life. And by the way, as you know, I still have my event, Finding Your Magic 2, scheduled for the weekend of May 29th, 2020, here in Las Vegas. Now, that is over a month away, so there, you know, it's still a good ways into the future. And at this point, people are asking me, like, you know, are you going to postpone it or cancel it? Look, right now, I have no reason to do any of that. Obviously, if conditions change, then I will respond to that and react to it. But as of right now, everything is 100% a go. I talked to the owner of the venue, and he expects everything to be fine. So, you know, don't worry about that. But if there is some kind of a change, then I will contact you as soon as possible. Okay, if you have a ticket to the event, I'll contact you as soon as possible, and we'll sort of discuss whatever the situation is. But for now, nothing has changed. Finding Your Magic coming up next month here in Las Vegas. So anyway, all that said, Lauren and I, you know, we said, well, we got to get out of the house and just do something recreational, get some exercise. And here in Nevada, I mean, they've been so strict that all the parks are closed. I mean, you can't even really go hike a trail or anything. I mean, it's really, it was so strict how they closed down all this stuff here. But nonetheless, I did find out about a place we are allowed to go that's really scenic and has, it's got a nice walk. And I don't want to tell you where it is, because if I help make it famous, then everybody's going to go there, and then they'll say, oh, you can't go there anymore. There are too many people there. So I don't want to tell you where we went. But we got out of the house yesterday, and we had just a beautiful day. The weather here was fantastic. Couldn't have asked for a finer day. Nice and sunny and breezy and clear, and just, you know, most days in this state are actually beautiful, beautiful days. So we found a place where we could go and walk and get some exercise and see some great scenery and have some nice fresh food and even a margarita. Yeah, a real margarita, I'm telling you. I mean, it was, we were starting to feel a little more like the old days there. You know, those good old days about 6 weeks ago? So anyway, as we're out, I mean, and you know, we saw maybe a couple dozen people throughout the day here and there. I mean, it was pretty sparse. Everybody was keeping their distance. Everybody's, you know, we're all in the same boat here. But what I have found interesting is that throughout this whole process that we've been going through, I have not come across a single person, here in this state, and really, for that matter, not even among people that I know, not one person says, yeah, well, you know, this whole lockdown thing, it's just in order to stop the virus. Everybody thinks there's something else going on here as well, okay? Like, there's something fishy about all this. And so everybody has a conspiracy theory as to what's going on. Which is fine. I love it. It's people are thinking. And again, hey, if you want to believe that everything is just exactly as you're being told, then all right, go for it. But everybody I've talked to, they roll their eyes and they say, man, you know, this is bullshit. And they give you, you know, and they have, you know, they have an opinion about it. And it's not like, oh, well, this is just for our welfare. You'll find people on the internet who post stuff like that, but I don't know. I haven't met, and I'm not talking about just people in my circles. I mean, just strangers, you know, people at the grocery store or whatever. And here's an interesting example of that. So yesterday, when Lauren and I put in our order for food, we were off to the side, social distancing, waiting for our food to be ready. Because, you know, you can't go sit down in a restaurant at this point. You might be able to do that soon. But basically, you know, they give you your food, then you take it, and you can go have a picnic or do whatever you want, but you can't sit there and eat it at the restaurant. So anyway, we're off to the side waiting for our food. And there were a few other people who were waiting in line. And these are all strangers, and they start chatting with each other. And so Lauren and I are just eavesdropping, overhearing their conversation. So one of the guys there in line was a, he looked like a fairly young, healthy guy. I don't know, probably in his 30s or whatever. And we'll call him, he had a backpack on and he starts talking to some other dude. And I don't know exactly how the conversation started, but the younger guy goes at some point, "Yeah, I'm actually an influencer, a social media influencer, And he starts talking about how big his audience is. And I'm not going to go into details here, but so Lauren and I kind of look at each other and smirk a little bit. But anyway, I mean, he probably is, okay? The dude probably was some kind of influencer. I don't even know. But the other guy he was talking to, middle-aged man, local dude, I think the influencer was not from around here. He was like traveling through influencing things, right? But the other guy was just kind of a middle-aged local guy. And so they start up a little conversation. So the influencer guy says, "Yeah, well, I was supposed to be in Australia right now, influencing things over there." But obviously travel's become a tricky thing. So he says to the middle-aged guy, we'll just call him the local guy. Local guy, influencer guy are talking. These are two strangers. The influencer guy says, "Well, you know what's really going on here, don't you?" And the local guy says, "Well, I have my own theories," but he was kind of sheepish. And influencer guy goes, "Well, let's hear it. What's your theory?" And so the local guy, he hesitated a minute, and then you could just see him, the wheels going, and he finally decides, "Well, okay, I'm going to go there." And he can. And he says, "I think that they're trying to keep Trump from getting reelected." And then the influencer guy says, "Yeah, but that's just a small part of it." He says, "You know what this is really about?" And the local guy says, "What?" And the influencer replies, "I'm ex-military. And what's really going to happen here is that eventually, at some point, they're going to require all of us to get a vaccine. And when they vaccinate us, they're going to chip us. They're going to put a microchip in us, right? That's what's going on here," he says. And the local guy goes, "Yeah, well, you're probably right." And then it continues from there. Now, listen, I'm just telling you what we overheard. These are the kinds of conversations that people are having. Now, look, the last thing I want to do when you're in this situation right now and you have all this stress on you is try to add some other kind of scary shit that you have to think about, like, "Oh my God, is that what's happening now? It's time to get the mark of the beast and get chipped and everything." Look, these are conspiracy theories. And so I'm not saying that that is what's going to happen. I'm not saying that's what the plan is. I see no direct evidence of that. But I will tell you a couple of things. One is that I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever, that there are people out there in positions of power and authority who would love to put a chip in your ass. And they'd love to do that for a number of reasons. For one thing, it would make some people's jobs so much easier. Think of law enforcement. They just, "Oh, the guy just robbed the store. Now here's where," they can sit there on their computer half the time and just see what everybody's doing. Now, obviously, you'd have people like, John Dillinger. He was using acid to burn his fingerprints off and getting plastic surgery. So yeah, you'd have people who'd rip the implant out of their arm, but that would set off some kind of an alarm. And then they'd come and get you for that. I mean, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, Because if you're chipped, I mean, oh, that's it. Okay, that's the end of the story right there. No more privacy for you, buddy. You now are a product of the state. They track everything that you do. No more need for cash anymore, folks. It's all digitally stored on this little chip here. You just scan that thing on your way out the store, and you don't even have to pay your taxes. Doesn't that sound great? We just automatically deduct whatever the hell we want to. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Everything's so much easier, so much more convenient with this chip. So you can see how that would be the end of personal independence and privacy if that were to happen. But then you have these people who would make so much money off of it. So much money for so many different reasons. I mean, look at how much you're targeted right now when you get on the internet and you just search for some kind of item. You should try it out. Just get on the internet and search for something right now that you have no interest in ever buying. Okay? It could be anything. It could be anything. Go on there, or it could be something normal. You could go search for apples or whatever. It could be something crazy like, oh, a Learjet. I'm interested in buying a Learjet. You know, whatever. I could throw out some nasty things here, but that might be funny, but I'm trying to take a higher moral ground than that today. I'm trying not to. Anyway, look, folks. Just type it in. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing advertisements automatically appearing all over the place. And you may have noticed that sometimes, maybe it's just our imagination, but sometimes you just start talking about something in a conversation. And then, like, a day later, you start seeing ads regarding this thing you were talking about, almost like somebody's listening to you. And we know that is technologically possible. I'm not saying be paranoid. I'm just saying that you are already being targeted and people are trying to influence you just based upon what you're doing online. So if you have a chip, it's over. Is that going to happen? Well, here's something interesting to think about. Here's something, and again, I'm not here to scare you or try to promote this. This is just a conspiracy theory. I want to make that clear. But here's an interesting article, and you can find plenty of things like this out there. This is an article from USA Today that was published August of 2017 in the tech section, and the headline here is, "You Will Get Chipped Eventually." That's the title of this piece, "You Will Get Chipped Eventually." It's by Jefferson Graham, and here's what it says. You will get chipped. It's just a matter of time. In the aftermath of a Wisconsin firm embedding microchips in employees last week to ditch company badges and corporate logins, the internet has entered into full-throated debate. Says everybody wants to know, is this what real life is going to be like soon? At work, will I be chipped? Quote, it will happen to everybody, end quote, says Noel Chesley, associate professor of sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Quote, but not this year and not in 2018. Maybe not my generation, but certainly that of my kids, end quote. And then goes on and on and on, talking about how, like, yeah, the technology is, it's there. You can have a little chip that's smaller than a dime, and it just does miraculous things for those who want to track you. So it's one thing to volunteer, but what if it becomes a mandatory thing? Like, you know, I don't know. These are the kinds of conversations that people are having right now, and it gives you something to think about. I don't want you to have anything extra to worry about right now. But you know the whole slippery slope argument that, well, how do you boil a frog, right? So it doesn't jump out of the pan or the pot or whatever. You boil it slowly. Kind of makes me happy that I'm a middle-aged man at this point, because maybe they won't get around to that shit before I'm dead. Or maybe it's coming next week. I don't know. So, don't believe everything you read online. Listen to the people in your community and what they're saying and how they feel and what's real, what's really real in a person's, you know, in a real person's mind in your community who is dealing with a perspective on life that's similar to yours. And that is why it is very, very important to not overexpose yourself to this negative media. I was joking with my friends Missy and Ron Hill because they posted a nice picture of them out picking berries and stuff or whatever in a beautiful setting. And I said, how dare you? You're supposed to be indoors with the door locked and the shutters down, watching 24/7 horror news, trembling in fear, or the governor will lock you up, you know. You really do have to minimize that immensely, immensely. Some people should not even watch it at all, at all. Especially if you're about to start trying to use the force. You're supposed to go through a period of time where you prepare your mind so that you are clearing it. And we're going to get into a clearing conversation here in a minute, or I guess it's more like a monologue. I always feel like when you listen to this, it's like we're talking. You know, I can almost hear you responding to me through the podcast. Thank you very much for listening to these podcasts, because if you weren't listening, well, I'd just be a madman in a room by myself with padded walls, I guess. So anyway, let's get into that a little bit. How to master your wormhole brain. Like, how do you take control of this flow of information? And first off, what am I talking about when I talk about a wormhole brain? So, you know what a black hole is, supposedly, right? I mean, what they tell us. I mean, if you look up the definition of a black hole, it says a black hole is a region of space-time where gravity is so strong that nothing, no particles, or even electromagnetic radiation such as light can escape from it. It's a hole in our reality is what they are telling us this is. But there is this theory out there which is consistent with all the quantum physics and all the cosmology and everything. There's a theory that there are also these things called wormholes. So imagine something like two black holes that are connected to each other through a tube. And that's what a wormhole is. And that's why that a lot of people who are theorizing and fantasizing about time travel say, well, if you find a wormhole, maybe you can travel through that wormhole and you can go back in time. And in fact, if you look up what a wormhole is here online, a wormhole can be visualized as a tunnel with two ends at separate points in space-time, which means different locations or different points in time or both. Wormholes are consistent with the general theory of relativity. It says a wormhole could connect extremely long distances, such as a billion light years or more, or short distances, such as a few meters, or different universes, or different points in time. Wow. Different universes. Wow, that's a good one, isn't it? Different universes. Well, look, I believe that that's valid, that there is this wormhole that connects certain realities together. That's why when you crack open my brain, you can't see my memories, You can't see my personality. You see a big chunk of flesh that has some electrical activity, some chemical activity, but it's like the caveman cracking open the television, looking inside, trying to find the little people running and dancing around. And he says, where are they? All I see are wires and nuts and bolts. Well, it's because that information, which is you, your personality, your memories, your desires, all that stuff, is not here. It's somewhere else. And all your brain is doing is connecting those two points and filtering that information, which is also exactly what Dr. Eben Alexander said, the neuroscientist, the neurosurgeon, who had a profound near-death experience. I'm sure you remember me interviewing him. So, using the concept of the wormhole, I wrote years ago about what I call the wormhole brain. This is a term that I invented for my book called The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan, which you can currently read instantly if you go to joshuapwarren.com and go to the Curiosity Shop. You'll find it there. You can read it as an instant ebook for, I think it's only like $9.95, or you can go to Amazon and order a physical copy. But one of the things I talk about right at the outset of the book is, and I'm just going to read this, the seat of your being, consciousness, and awareness is an infinitesimally small wormhole. And what you know is the information that flows through it, in and out, connecting the energy fields flowing and standing around it. You are a faucet and drain, pouring forth data and receiving it. That is the permanent you that has always been and will always be. Anything else extending from you is temporary, fluctuating, and bound to perpetual cycles of growth and decay in many various forms. This tube of information exchange, the dynamic seat of your consciousness, we will call the wormhole brain, or WHB. Though all are similar, no two are exactly alike. Some are larger or smaller than others, able to transfer more or less. The way in which the information is ultimately processed includes the filters of your physical brain, or lack thereof, as in single-celled organisms. Though the wormhole brain of you, an eagle, a bear, and a shark are equally impressive, the physical brain determines how that initial flow of cosmic information should be used. What is relevant to that particular creature's survival at that particular time in that particular place? For example, at the wormhole brain level, you are not necessarily more intelligent than a dog, but the dog's physical brain extracts the information most suitable for the dog's survival needs, just as yours extracts the information suitable for a human. And yes, when one creature's form dies, it may eventually congeal or reincarnate into another creature's form. There really is no such thing as death, just decay and transformation. Okay, so hopefully now you see what I'm talking about. Maybe you've never heard of this. Maybe you needed a refresher. The wormhole brain, that's what you are. That's that little tube of information that's connecting your consciousness to this realm that we are perceiving as physical external conditions. So what ultimately you could say is your whole reality is about that wormhole brain, because that is what is determining the inflow and outflow of information that you process as your reality. And because, you know, your reality is based upon the instruments that you have at your disposal. For example, eyes. If you have eyes, you have information that's coming in visually from a certain range of the electromagnetic spectrum, which determines your reality and your experience. If you are blind, however, and you do not have that instrument at your disposal, well, then you're going to have a completely different experience with this reality. And so everything that, you know, that we call them the five senses, right? What you can see or smell or taste or hear or feel, these are your instruments, your sensors, and that all that culminates in how you experience things. And so it all is sort of condensed and ultimately into the wormhole brain and how it's exchanging information from this realm that's coming in through your little instruments and sensors with the place that, you know, the storage room where your memories are and your personality is. Maybe it's part of the Akashic record concept, that sort of thing, you know. Maybe it's connected to the noosphere, the thought sphere that surrounds the world and determines the zeitgeist. Great words, huh? I can go all day with these big, crazy, metaphysical type words. So, but let's get right down to it. Your wormhole brain is exchanging information. So, if you can master that wormhole brain, well then, that's it. You know, you're going to master your experience. And that is all you are capable of doing, really, is mastering your experience. So when you start studying law of attraction and manifestation and magic and wishing machines and wands and prayer boards and all these great tools that you can use, which can help you immensely, immensely. When you start studying this, often, understandably, there is an emphasis put on you projecting out, like you projecting out what you want through that wormhole brain. So in other words, this is like a big holographic universe, and we are so used to just sitting back and feeling like we're being beaten up by all these external forces that it makes us feel passive, and it makes us sort of feel victimized. And that is what leads you to a self-fulfilling prophecy of being victimized and becoming a victim and just being, you know, just basically gradually killing yourself by submitting because you say, I am so tiny and it is so big, right? And then you start studying law of attraction. It goes, no. The first thing they tell you is start projecting out what you want, right? You've heard that a million times. And that is, I mean, there are books out there, probably thousands of books, and that's all they say, basically, at the end of the day. It's just start projecting out there what you want. There's a problem with this, however, and I'm about to tell you what it is. So they, but for good reason, they tell you project out there what you want, create that thought form. I always talk about creating a non-physical mold. And when you do that, you give shape to something that the physical reality will eventually have to morph into and attach to. And again, it's like that sandcastle. It's in, you know, it's fixed into the shape of a castle with all these little particles, and then you shake it a little bit, and now it breaks down, and it becomes malleable and flexible. And if you shake it enough, it almost becomes like liquid, and you can just put your hand right through it. That's why we have earthquakes. The ground reaches a frequency where it turns into liquid. So you start putting that frequency out there. It's like cymatics. It's really more like paracymatics. You start putting that mold out there, and reality starts adjusting to, and people start doing it, and they read my book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, and it starts really working for them. And they say, wow, light bulb goes off. And they realize they can start putting out these all of these amazing thought forms that can start changing their lives. Especially if you don't waste your time reading books out there that are poor. I've read all the books that I can read, okay? And when I wrote Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, which you can read for cheap, I'm telling you, online, go to Amazon. You can buy it. You can You can buy the ebook, the printed book. You can listen to me read the whole thing. It gives you the best techniques you're going to find, solid, practical techniques. So when you start this process and you're focusing on what I can put out, then you might think, oh, I'm getting it now. I'm mastering this. I'm mastering the outflow from my wormhole brain. But the problem is, you see, the wormhole brain is a two-way street. And so if you're only focusing on what you're putting out there, then you are becoming imbalanced, because it has to be an exchange of information between what you're putting out there and what's going in. Because if you become imbalanced with your output, then you become a megalomaniac. So let me help you understand this a little bit better. Maybe you've heard of like when I was in philosophy class in college, I was fascinated by solipsism. And solipsism, just to tell you by the definition here, solipsism is the philosophical idea that only one's mind is sure to exist. So in other words, I cannot prove to you right now that anything exists outside of my own mind. And that is true. That is 100% true. This whole thing that I'm calling life could be a gigantic movie, a gigantic illusion, a gigantic hallucination. I mean, that's why when you watch the movie about the crazy person, you know, the movie goes on till the last minute, and then you realize, oh, all this shit's just been happening in that guy's crazy mind. Wasn't happening in my world. It was all that was in his mind, but he didn't know the difference. Actually, the creepy part of that is that it's true. I mean, there's no way for you to know that anything actually happens outside of your own personal reality, like your personal experience. You could just be a brain in a jar, and we're piping all this stuff in there to give you this experience. And if that's the case, you're like, well, hey, can't, you know, let's make some changes with this fucking experience a little bit, right? Why are you giving me this shit right now? Oh, but even if that's true, okay, even if that is the case, it seems like that if you don't acknowledge that there is some other thing here that is giving you information, like, for example, I don't know what's behind me right now. I'm in my own studio, but I can't remember what's behind me. And I turn around. Oh, okay. I have to perceive some kind of information coming to me from somewhere. If you don't at least pretend that you need to take seriously the information that's coming back the other way, well, then you become a megalomaniac. You become a person who says, oh, all that matters is what I'm putting out there. And you're like an ancient Roman emperor. What is the definition of a megalomaniac? Here's what it is. It's pretty simple. Definition of a megalomaniac: a person who is obsessed with their own power. A person who is obsessed with their own power. So you see, if you are becoming a good manifester and you're able to start materializing good things for yourself because you're putting your thought forms out there, but you become so smitten with the fact that you can do that, that you start saying, I'm going to 100% control everything around me and not listen to anything else or perceive anything else that's coming in that might conflict, you can go too fucking far. it is supposed to be about a nice, balanced flow. When you're in the river and you have currents battering you, you can believe all you want that you're going to make it, but you're probably going to drown unless you start learning how to swim. And you get into the groove, and that's the key here. It's about taking the noise that you're producing in your head and turning it into music. Taking the chaotic, disorganized vibrations that you're sending out and organizing them into something that has meaningful impact. And when you start using the force, you can go too far in either way, because if you start projecting and focusing only on what you put out, then obviously you're going to imbalance things, and that's going to come back and bite you in the ass. But if you do the opposite, well, then you're going to get crushed by your own sense of victimhood. And here's something very important for you to remember about what we talk about when we talk about something like the Law of Attraction. In my book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, on page one, page 198, it says, "Beware of the dark side. Because the Law of Attraction behaves as a law, it is indifferent toward human opinions of good or bad." Let me read that again. Because the Law of Attraction behaves as a law, it is indifferent toward human opinions of good or bad. That means that even the Force can be used effectively by evil people, like Darth Vader and the Emperor, in addition to the good. There is strong evidence that Adolf Hitler was a real-world example of a Jedi who aligned himself with the dark side to accomplish astounding feats of evil. And yet, despite his wicked achievements, Hitler found, just like Vader and the Emperor, that what you project will always come back to you. As a skilled practitioner in the ways of the Force, you must be especially discerning between the light and the dark. Otherwise, you might unwittingly become a pawn in someone else's dark agenda, just as Palpatine manipulated Anakin. See what I mean? You can believe all day long, I'm going to run off this cliff and I'm going to fly like Superman. But guess what? Gravity doesn't give a shit about that. If it does, I've never seen it. Maybe there is somebody out there who in that person's reality can do that. But I personally have never seen that. And I personally have never done that. So, if you can do that, you're somebody really special, let me tell you. I'm not saying it's impossible. We don't know what's impossible. You're incapable of knowing what's impossible because you don't have enough data. You'll never have enough data. The world is too vast and complex. But a law, we call them a law because it seems to be an indifferent thing. Again, it doesn't care about what's right or wrong or good or bad. It just is something. And so that's why you have got to be careful when you start using this law, because the law of gravity, if you understand it, well, then you can figure out exactly where you want to drop your water balloon at the birthday party, right? Or you can figure out how to get on your airplane and fly safely from New York to LA, or up to the moon and back for that matter. Like, you know what I'm saying. So, understanding the Law of Attraction means understanding something for its, you know, the way, its properties, understanding its properties. So when you start sort of managing this inflow and outflow, this exchange of information through the wormhole brain, it's easy to say, oh gosh, all right, I understand what you're talking about, Josh, but what am I supposed to do? Like, how am I supposed to put this into practice? What is this tip that's going to make me better at balancing that? Well, obviously, the first thing you want to do is be very self-aware. And I think right now we are seeing a lot of people out there who are leaning toward the megalomaniac side. These are people who have accomplished a lot of things in life. They're pretty damn good manifestors, but maybe they're going a little too far and manifesting something without being respectful of others. Whether you agree with other people or not is irrelevant. You have to be respectful of others, and you have to be respectful of the world that you're in and the things that you've been given. But let's get more specific than that. You know what? You can when you learn about the law of attraction and you learn how to manifest things and you can use a wishing machine or any of these devices and you can start manifesting things, you can also very easily sabotage yourself. Because once you realize this stuff works, well, now there's a whole new compartment that opens up in your brain. And now you're really becoming a manifester. And so if you start becoming sloppy and irresponsible at that point, then your fears and your insecurities and your selfish feelings and all that stuff will start to bleed in, and you'll start manifesting all that as well. You will, if once you know that you can manifest, if you don't stay disciplined, then you will start manifesting bad shit for yourself. You will, it's self-sabotage that comes from things in your subconscious mind that will inevitably start to make you question who you are and what you are. And the reason I say that is inevitable is because we are destined to decay and die in this particular realm. And that process of breaking down is something that none of us like. You know, the idea of me saying you're going to die right now when we flip this switch is not nearly as awful as me saying over the next 30 years, you're going to feel shittier and shittier and shittier. And you're going to have to undergo surgeries, and you're going to have to take a bunch of medication, and you're not going to be able to do the things that you like to do, or eat the things you like to eat, or drink the things you like to drink. I mean, like, you know, what'd you rather have? You'd be like, yeah, okay, hit the switch. Boom, let's get out of here. If I gave you those two options. So the process of getting older and breaking down and moving into that ending of your life cycle, it sucks for every single one of us and every single thing. And that's why they say something like, nobody wants to be 100 years old except a 99-year-old. Right? Now, of course, there are exceptions to that, but you get what I'm saying. That's why we have persisted as a species. So you inevitably have a propensity as you get older to start sabotaging yourself because you start feeling more insecure as your body is moving forward in this aging process through time. And it's ironic. They say, you know, why is youth wasted on the young? Because as you get older, if you've had a little fortune and you've got a little talent and you've been smart enough, as you've gotten older, your life should have gotten better. You should have more, you learn more about who you are and what you like and what you don't like and the types of people you want to be around. And hopefully you've learned to manage money and you've got a little money. And like, you know, things do better for you. And it's like, okay, great. You figured that out. Now, time to break down and feel all shitty. Right? Now get shitty and die. So I understand that's one of the cruel jokes about life, that the older you get, the better you get, and then, you know, then it's over. But look, you have to just make the most of it. And the way you make the most of it is by really getting good at managing the way that you balance the information coming in and out of that wormhole brain. And if you want to know more and more specific techniques, you know, I write about all this stuff here in my book. But the first thing you need to do is, it's very important for you, at least, you should do this at least once a day. You've got to clear your mind. It's like hitting the reset button on your computer. It's like rebooting your computer or your cell phone or whatever. It's exactly like that. You clear all the shit out, and you do a clearing. And people clear themselves in different ways. You know, some people meditate, which that's not for everybody. Some people take a walk. Some, you know, people do different things. But one of the easiest ways to clear yourself is, at very least, to once a day give yourself a moment, literally just a few seconds, to say the Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. You don't even really have to think about it, because it's all happening subconsciously. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. It doesn't matter what order those phrases are in. You could say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Okay, you can switch those phrases around, whatever rolls off your tongue. But that's the whole purpose of saying the Ho'oponopono, is every time you do that, it's a clearing exercise. It clears because you're saying very important, fundamental things, positive things, that are removing baggage in your subconscious mind. So you need to start it by, you know, you should do that. But when you do that, what should you really be thinking about and feeling? Well, let's go back to Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, page 125. I'm going to read this section to you called Impressing the Universe. Think of how you might conduct yourself in front of a multi-billionaire benefactor who is evaluating you. If you do well, a billion-dollar grant may be given to you. What things would you say to that person? What kind of behavior might you display before that person, in front of that individual? Even when you are all alone, pretend that you are impressing this giant, generous being who intends to help you and give you all you could ever imagine. Even if you have to force this conduct in the beginning, the more you do it, the more natural it will become. And best of all, the more rewards will begin flowing into your life. And now listen to this. This is the most important thing that I have to tell you in this podcast. Listen very closely. Are you ready? Whether or not you believe the universe is a living, conscious being that cares about your attitude toward it, if you behave as though it is, it will also behave as though it is. It works. Okay, I'm going to repeat that for you. Whether or not you believe the universe is a living, conscious being that cares about your attitude toward it, if you behave as though it is, it will also behave as though it is. So again, it doesn't matter what you believe. If you imagine that the universe is a conscious, friendly thing that wants you to be happy and loves you, it will start to behave that way toward you. Maybe it's all just a big illusion. Fine, let it be an illusion. As long as it works, all we care about are the results here. I'm going to go on to read a little bit more. Imagine the universe becoming more and more impressed with you. The more you become in league with the cosmic forces, the more they will support you in every way. That is when the force will start rushing through you like a river, and you will become a better and better conduit for its flow and sway upon matters around you. And better yet, as you become a true friend to the magnificent energy around you, you'll also become an ambassador for this energy to all other humans. It begins with an extremely effective technique I call the magic of smiling. And that is the next section of the book I get into called The Magic of Smiling. And it truly is magical. So I know I read a lot of little passages from books I've written, but why not? You know, when I write books, I do a lot of work. I put a lot of thought into making sure things are worded properly, and I've vetted my sources, and so it's a nice reference for me. I've published over 20 books now, but this one, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, just look at the reviews that it has on Amazon. It's practically 5 out of 5 stars. And so, you know, from people, tons of people from all over the world. So that's why I refer to that, and sometimes it's important to pick out little pieces and sort of emphasize those pieces, almost like taking something out of a textbook for a lesson in a classroom, so that you can apply it to whatever's happening in the world right now or whatever's going through your mind right now. And so if you clear your mind every day, you start treating the universe as if it is a loving, friendly, kind universe toward you. Forget what's happening everywhere else, okay? You can't go out there and control the world. The world is not within your grasp. That is an illusion. Just because you can turn on the TV and see what's happening in China or somewhere else doesn't mean that you're there. It's just what somebody is going there and showing you, and it's the way they want to show it to you. Focus on your sphere. Focus on your experience and the ones around you that you love and care about, things that are real to you, not this brainwashing that's put into your head. Focus on your universe, your personal universe, being an abundant, prosperous, healthy, friendly, loving universe. Treat the universe the way that you want it to treat you. Clear your mind every day using at very least Ho'oponopono. Clear your mind of any kind of baggage that will obviously build up over time. And remain in balance. Remain in harmony. Put out there what you want. But also pay attention and be considerate to the forces that are flowing back through you. And it should just be a natural, undulating process where you never panic and drown in the river. If all this sounds like too much to you, then just take it one step at a time. Just start by saying the Ho'oponopono every day. Those four phrases. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Just say them. Even if you don't understand exactly what you're saying, just say it. Once a day. Those phrases. Or maybe just every day you get up and the first thing you do is you just say, I live in a friendly, loving universe that wants me to be happy and succeed. That's fine. But you put it in your own words. Or maybe you just start becoming a little more balanced, where you take some deep breaths and you start to project out there what you want, but then you're also open to receiving things, maybe in unexpected ways. Because that's one of the most interesting things about using the Force, is that often when you get the stuff that you want, it may not come to you the way that you were expecting. That means you have to be open to the language of the universe. When you wish for a shitload of money, it's not like some leprechaun is going to come and materialize a pot of gold at your feet. No, what happens is that the universe will synchronistically start opening up opportunities for you. And if you pay attention and you are aware enough to see those opportunities and follow them, they will lead you where you want to go. You may not know what that path is. That's fine. Let the universe figure it out. The universe is a bigger, much more magnificent thing we could ever comprehend. Let it do the work. You just set the intention. And that's why I say to all of you who have been working on manifesting an end to this virus scare that we're in right now, first off, thank you for doing that. And secondly, continue to just now relax and put yourself in the mindset of receiving it. And that's why I don't think it's a good idea to go out there on social media and start letting off steam anymore. We've all done that. That phase is over. So take that information and use it to master the flow in and out of your own personal wormhole brain in order to create a healthy connection between your perception of this world and how you can influence this world, along with the world that's connected on the other end of the wormhole, where ultimately everything is stored. That's where you really are. That's where you, when you drop dead here, yeah, your body's dead. But you're back there in that other universe that's connected through the wormhole brain. Pay attention to how information flows and balance either way. Don't panic. Well, we have covered a lot of interesting stuff today, don't you think? I'm not sure when I'll be leaving another podcast for you, because I actually have been getting a lot of requests from people to do some interviews, and some of that stuff I'll be posting for you. Let me repeat for you and remind you, if you want to see me on the Discovery Channel this coming Thursday, April the 23rd, 2020, watch Rob Riggle, Global Investigator, the new episode, the finale of the season. It's episode 6, I think. It's called Really Close Encounters. And it's all about UFO stuff. And again, hopefully you'll see me, Dean Worsing, Steve Barone, Nick Weird. Write that down, April 23rd on Discovery Channel. And it's important for you to also subscribe to my free e-newsletter. It just takes you just a few seconds. Put your email address in there, hit the button, and that way I can write you an e-newsletter whenever I want to, directly to you, with typos and all. And make sure to add me once you get your first one or whatever. Add me as a contact so that it doesn't go to spam or anything like that. And go to my website, joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Click around. Enjoy some of the weird and strange and wonderful and inspiring and scary content. There's a lot of stuff there. While you're there, though, please be sure to visit the Curiosity Shop, where you will find some things that you will not find anywhere else in the world. I promise you that. And hopefully you'll find something cool that you'll want to buy. If not, just window shop. Just look at the stuff in the Curiosity Shop at joshuapwarren.com. And of course, while you're there, be sure to click the link to this podcast. It's called Joshua P. Warren Daily. And it's always short, always free, commercial-free, uncensored, completely independent. When you find the page there, you can subscribe through various means. I hope you'll share this podcast with everybody. Please share this with all your friends, your family, your loved ones. We want everybody to be a part of this community. So share it with everybody. Subscribe through various means. Follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren. And I usually tweet when a new one is available. So that is it for today's podcast. I'm sure I'll have some more crazy stuff for you soon. So thank you for listening. Thanks for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.